Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the October 2nd, 2008 meeting of the Harbor Advisory Board. Please let the record show that all board members are present with the exception of Michelle Leary. I would like at this time to ask members of the board if there are any changes or corrections to the minutes. Bill, any corrections or changes?
No, I don't.
Ed? Okay. Hearing no corrections or changes, do I have a motion to approve the minutes as presented? Moved by Lynn, seconded by Bill. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are approved. At this point on the agenda, we ask members of the audience who wish to address the board on an issue or matter not on the agenda tonight to step forward to the microphone and state your name and let us know what it is you want to tell us. Seeing none, we'll move on to the agenda items. We originally, as the original agenda stated, we had expected a summer beach lifeguard report. However, the persons lined up to make the report had other obligations that prevented them from being here tonight. So we're going to put their presentation off to another time, probably in November. Rick, I understand we have somebody from the Harbor Festival.
Yes, good evening, board members, Mr.
Thanks.
Chairman. David Owens had told me that he would try to come here and make a quick presentation on the Harbor Festival. I don't see David in the audience. He also said that they were extremely busy this afternoon, so I'm sure something came up where he's been unable to make it. Perhaps you could just move on. If David were to show up, perhaps we could give him an opportunity to make a short presentation on this weekend's Harbor Festival.
Okay. We will move right along then. The next item on our agenda has to do with the formation of a Liveaboard Ordinance Review Standing Subcommittee, be a subcommittee of the Harbor Advisory Board. The board has decided up to this point to appoint two of its members to the welfare of the harbor and the interest in reviewing the Liveaboard ordinance as it is. So I want to, if any of you who are applicants for this subcommittee position would like to take a few minutes to come forward and speak to the board personally or directly, I would like at this time to invite you to do so. Is there anybody in the audience who is here for that purpose? Come forward to the podium there and just state your name, please.
Hi, my name is Joan Gagnon, and my family and I moved here in July, and we're coming from Hawaii and from a few other states. I was a teacher for 22 years, mostly in Hawaii, but I wanted to apply for this position because when we were in Hawaii, I did work on lots and lots of committees as a community college teacher. But in addition to that, and something I did not put on the application, I didn't want to put everything down. I was kind of rushed. But I was also the president and the secretary at different times for a condominium association board where my family and I lived when we were on the North Shore in Oahu. And the reason I did that and the reason that I wanted to be on this committee, it's really pretty much the same, and that is that when I'm involved directly in a living situation, say as a resident or as somebody at this point in, you know, living in the harbor, I do like to try to participate in an active way rather than have decisions foisted on me and mine and then maybe gripe about it or whatever or think, oh, well, that's great, but gee, I guess they went to a lot of work for that and too bad I didn't participate. Well, rather than have that attitude, I like to be a direct participant. So also, I guess the name of it, the review of the liveaboard ordinance, it certainly caught my eye because any review of that ordinance can certainly directly affect me, my husband, and our 15-year-old. So so that's really why I applied.
Oh. Okay. Bill, would you stay up there, Joan, for a minute and see if the board members have questions?
I have a question.
Are you currently a liveaboard?
Yes, I am.
Are you registered?
Yes, I am.
Okay, thank you.
Ed, any questions? Yeah, that was a question I had, too. I didn't get that from your letter that you are currently a liveaboard. Okay, thank you. Is there anyone else here for that purpose? Okay. The task before the board now is to nominate from the 10 letters received a individual and vote on that individual and do that, go through that process till we have three nominations agreed to by a majority vote. And so we'll now open up the nominations. Anyone on the board?
Worth and banter, or I mean, I'm not, or just maybe meet afterwards and make a decision. Or do we have to do it in public?
I think it needs to be done in the public.
I don't mind doing it.
During this.
All right. That's fine. I second the recommendation of Joan Gannon as one of our members.
And I'll make another recommendation then.
Let's do them one at a time and see where we get.
Okay.
I can give you the list of names. There is, of course, included in the board packet that was circulated to the public and all the normal public places. The folks who have indicated an interest to us in response to receiving a letter or hearing about this are Peter Bayman, Joan Gagnon, Dave Hantman, Phil Hill, Drew and Denise Jacobson, Annie Lynn, John Myers, Thomas Polly, Elaine Cerda, and Burke Vanderhoff. I think that there isn't a firm set of rules on how you do this. I suspect that if you can come do it at one at a time and a majority would like to ask that person to serve and assist you with this task of reviewing it, that would be great. And the board did indicate at your last meeting that you'd like to have the committee be five, but you can also change that if you feel that it would be appropriate to have additional members. We're going to be spending the time, and also you might want to appoint even an alternate. Certainly, things do change, and sometimes people can't make meetings as planned, and so that's a good purpose.
I might mention, too, before we proceed with that, that the subcommittee, once the composition of the subcommittee is chosen, then the subcommittee will decide on the time and place and frequency of its meetings, and will create the agenda of things to be looked at in regards to the ordinance. And I know on some of the letters, certainly not all of them, some of the candidates have indicated a possibility of conflict of time. But since we don't know at this point when the meetings will be and what nights at what time and for what duration, it's difficult to use that. So if we can start with looking to see if we can get three nominated members agreed to, plus at least one alternate, I think we can start with that anyway. So we have a nomination by Ed to nominate Joan Gagnon. Is there a second to that nomination? Pardon?
Bill did.
Oh, Bill. Bill, I'm sorry. Bill seconded that. All in favor of Joan's participation, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Or, Maybe I should ask if there's any questions first. Sorry.
Well, I would like to see who else is going to be nominated rather than taking the first three nominees and having to vote on each one.
Okay.
Why don't we go down the list and see if you have three, you have three, you have three that you'd like to see, and then if we end up a consensus of where everybody voted for this person, then we know that that's an acceptable person.
Well, I don't know what Robert's rules would say about this, but we have a nomination.
David Hattenman and either Drew or Denise Jacobson, one of those two. I'll say Drew.
Was that second one David Hattenman?
Yes.
Okay. And then, yeah, Drew or Denise Jacobson. Okay, Lynn?
Peter Beeman, David Hattenman, and Elaine Cerda.
Ed, do you want to add two more?
And one of them's Thomas Pauley. And let me find the other one here I was looking at. Bert Vanderhoff.
Bill?
I'd like to nominate Peter Beeman, Joan Gannon, and Bert Vanderhoff.
Eliminate three.
I would like to see nominated David or Denise Jacobson, John Myers, and David Hattenman. Okay.
They must know.
Well, if we looked at the nominations and we looked at the frequency of those, we can see a list of the most commonly nominated persons, one of which would be Peter Beeman. And you guys correct me if I'm counting wrong here, but there's one, two, three out of the five there. There's for Jacobson, or Hattenman, I mean, next on the list is one, two, three for him. And then next on the list would be
Joan has two, Drew and Denise have two, and Burke has two.
So there's a run of Burke is two, Denise Jacobson is two, and
so from what I heard, you have five people that have two or more folks who would appear to at least like them to be considered, perhaps you could think to. So I would ask the board to make a motion if that's your action you're considering, to make a motion to form the committee with those other five folks.
And who are those five again?
They would be Peter Beeman, David Hattenman, Burke Vanderhoff, and Drew or Denise. They both signed the letter of application, and it's going to be one of those, I suppose, not both of them. So they would be
D. Jacobson.
Yeah. So they would be the third and fourth person. And who?
Joan Gagnon.
And then Joan Gagnon.
Okay.
Okay. So those would be the five people joining the two members, which will be Bill Luffy and Lynn Meissen as two members of the board.
I'll make a motion that we create an ad hoc committee of seven members, and that consists of Peter Beeman, Joan Gagnon, David Hatteneman, D. Jacobson, and Bert Vanderholt.
Okay.
You need a second.
Yes. You would need a second for that motion.
I'll second that motion.
Okay. There's a motion made by Gene Dowdy and seconded by Ed Ewing to select Peter Beeman, David Hantman, Burke Vanderhoff, Joan Gagnon, and D. Jacobson, along with
Joan Gagnon.
Board members Bill Luffy and Lynn Meissen as the seven-member subcommittee looking into the liveaboard ordinance improvement committee. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? The motion passes.
All right. Mr. Chairman, before you leave this item, this would be a standing subcommittee of the Harbor Advisory Board. The meetings will be subject to Brown Act for notification. What we'll try to do here is that unless you want to try and set a date or target, the problem is we don't know exactly when room availability would be, but there's enough facilities. If you want to try and announce a date today, something like the Yacht Club or something, it would probably almost surely be. I can't promise public facilities would be available on any given day. But, so there's one way. If you want to set that first date, we'll notice it and make sure that whoever's on the committee receives the notice, hopefully they're available. Otherwise, we try and work out a date sometime when a public facility is available, probably in a couple weeks, convene the committee, notice the meeting, and start our work.
So any night that Friday would be probably pretty easy.
And perhaps the Yacht Club isn't a good example. But, well, it wasn't. I was just using that example. There are meeting rooms available. We've used it before for other committee meetings. And I think it'd probably be better to have sort of a city or more neutral facility. But if that's what you want to do, we'll make sure you pick a date and we'll
finish talking about the meeting. I simply want to somehow be assured that eight people aren't going to show up. And that Mr. and Mrs. Jacobson are aware that just one of the couple, the other could come and I guess be in the room because it's an open meeting.
It's an open meeting. The public would be invited. They wouldn't, when it comes time to possibly voting on making recommendations to the Harbor Advisory Board, then of course that would be limited to members who had been appointed. But
to only one of the couple.
I suspect we can work that out. It may be, if the committee is agreeable, I don't know why they couldn't share the duty or something, or perhaps you want to have one person appointed, but it seems like something we can work out.
My concern is that there would be two votes probably on the same side. Built in.
Well,
not necessarily, I know,
if it came to voting, I think, certainly one.
I think that would be inappropriate.
Yes. We're quite a ways away probably from voting for anything. I'm sure the first order of duty is going to be to review the existing ordinance and the history and try to become familiar as we can with exactly what we have now.
Yeah, so I think with that, the other thing that we need to do is to set an initial goal, at least for this committee, which, as Rick just mentioned, would be to review the existing ordinance in terms of what it does and doesn't say, and to work towards identifying any improvements that could be made to the ordinance that are reasonable and applicable to our situation. I think that pretty well takes care of that agenda item. I want to once again thank all of the people who did show an interest in serving on that committee. It certainly was beyond what I expected to happen in terms of both the level of interest and the number of people interested. So I want to thank all of them, whether they were selected or not, for indicating an interest in the live aboard ordinance in Morro Bay. The next item on our agenda is discussion of potential amendment to Measure D. Are there any members of the audience who are here to speak to that issue? If you are, you can step forward to the microphone, state your name and your interest.
Maybe it would help them too. You want me to review real quickly, Mr.
Okay.
Chairman, exactly what we're trying to do here, and for members of the anybody who might be watching, probably not many since they're all watching the debate, I'm guessing, but or maybe as they can watch it in repeats.
The Dodgers.
The Dodgers, right.
Okay.
Probably one or the other, yeah. Anyway, in your August meeting, we informed you that the City Council had met a couple times in June to review Measure D, which was a people's initiative in the 1980s, to establish a zoning district north of Beach Street in the waterfront area to illustration only, and not by way of limitation, no approval shall be granted for any new passenger-for-hire boats or supporting facilities, or for any new restaurant, cafe, gift shop, or other retail establishments serving the general public, and any existing such uses shall hereafter be considered non-conforming and shall not be expanded or enlarged. That was language incorporated into our planning and zoning laws in 1980 by initiative. The council discussed this in June with an eye to seeing if that language was still working. And if it wasn't working, I think the council's intention was to suggest possibly a ballot initiative so the folks, the people, the only way that can be changed is by another ballot initiative. A ballot initiative can be prepared for the ballot either by a petition of certain number of registered voters in the city, or the city council can also prepare a request for a ballot initiative and have it put on the ballot that way. Either way, it's got to be voted by a majority of folks. So there's no way this can be changed without the majority of the voters in some election in the future. So it's not going to happen right away. I want to stress that to people. It's an ongoing discussion. In June, when the council did discuss this, they were possibly thinking about trying to put something on the November ballot. That's obviously become a moot issue. At their second meeting, after talking quite a bit, reviewing some draft language that was prepared by the city attorney that for them to consider that might be considered improvements, and we have included that again in your packet, and we can cover that in more detail if you would like. But those suggestion number one, suggestion number two, suggestion number three, and suggestion number four that the council was reviewing in June are again here for consideration. The council decided that they did not want to go forward with trying to prepare a ballot proposition until they had a meeting. There was a meeting of the stakeholders. And the exact motion of the council in June was the city council postpones placing Measure D on the general municipal ballot until there has been a meeting with the stakeholders. So at your August meeting, again, we presented you with all this information and asked if how the Harbor Advisory Board would like to give input in this discussion. And your determination at that time was to hold a public hearing, properly noticed, and we discussed at that time that October would probably be appropriate with enough notice. We put out our newsletter, which goes to all our billing folks and is widely disseminated, I think, at least in the city and a number of other places. And all our lessees, all our mooring and slip holders, and they all received the newsletter. And so we think the word got out, and this is the hearing where you were going to at least engage the discussion. And I think there's still an open question how you might want to proceed after this. At the last meeting, what we gave you as options of the Harbor Advisory Board hold public hearings over the next year to formulate a recommendation to council, sort of consider yourself as a stakeholder. Appoint a subcommittee of the Harbor Advisory Board to work on the issues of members of the public, business owners, and report back to the Harbor Advisory Board, much like what you just did with the Live Aboard group. Or make a recommendation to the City Council form an ad hoc committee of the Council that could include members of the City Boards and Commission, public voters, and business owners.
2 weeks ago from a long trip out of the state, and the way I heard about it was an article in the Bay News, which apparently incorrectly stated that a committee was already being formed. And so I should disclose that I sent an email to Director Algard and volunteered at that point, and then he indicated to me that tonight's meeting was going to be held, and there really wasn't a decision yet to form a committee. So I want to put that on the table first. I would just like to say that if the council has given you direction to seek input from the stakeholders, that there needs to be a careful analysis by your board and a definition of who those stakeholders are. I think most of the residents of Morro Bay who have been here any length of time clearly feel that they are part of the stakeholder group. And just witnessing the lack of audience here tonight, it seems to me that there are probably vast numbers of people within our community that aren't aware that this is potentially being discussed. So I would urge you to carefully define your definition of stakeholder and make sure that we have everybody that potentially could be interested in this very important issue. Obviously has to be very important, or it would have never reached the ballot in the 80s and had the kind of majority that it did garner at that time. So it needs to be taken seriously, and I urge you to do that. Thank you for your time.
Thank you very much for your opinion. Is there anyone else? Okay, well, we open it up then to the board. I think we have, as I see it anyway, two tasks here, initially at least. One is to see if there's any interest in changing the existing wording of Measure D. Any strong opinions, at least, in that direction. The second goal would be to decide what we might want to do as a Harbor Advisory Board in regards to the City Council. So maybe we can begin with a discussion of the wording of Measure D and what the interests are in that regard.
First off, I think that Michael's point that he just brought up is very valid, is that there is not a lot of people in the audience. I don't know, unless we all have an opinion, is that I think there should be some more stakeholders that will offer their opinion on what they feel should be Measure D. Maybe they didn't get the notice. I mean, it was publicized, but or maybe we need to reach out a little bit more to them. And, you know, as much as I that this is an important measure, maybe we do need to form another subcommittee to discuss it a little bit more. I don't know. That's just my opinion.
Ed?
Well, when this initiative was, before it was placed on the ballot, when it was a petition, I signed it on behalf of Morro Bay Commercial Fishermen's Organization. I was president at the time. I didn't like Major D necessarily, but it did preserve an area for commercial fishing, which we needed. Let me explain some of the wording in it. One of the words is non-conforming, and that could be construed by some attorneys as a non-conforming business that if 3/4 of your business burns down, you're not allowed to rebuild it. So let's assume that a leaseholder like Burgess has been there 50 years and place burnt down. That could be construed as we couldn't rebuild. There's some other things down there that the changes, the way the Major D worded is that if they change party boats or have an additional boat or a sightseeing boat down there on their lease properties, that they couldn't have it because of the way this is worded. So there's some unfairness to it. And I think most commercial fishermen don't care what they do as long as the leaseholders that are existing down there, have been down there for a while, stay within their lease boundaries and don't expand their lease boundaries and don't do anything that's going to hamper commercial fishing. They don't, otherwise, they don't care. But The wording was strong because people have a way of weaseling past regulations. It's been done, you know, over 20 years. They forget about the regulations, and so do some of the city people. So anyway, I would prefer not to change Measure D, but it's going to get changed, I think. I think eventually it's going to get changed. So if it does, we need to get that wording down pat. And as far as this, what this does, it protects certain areas north of B Street on the west side of the Embarcadero up to the power plant, and then some of the areas past the power plant on the land side too, besides the waterfront, all the way to Target Rock. And I wouldn't want to see any new lease sites developed down there other than for commercial fishing, maybe for a boat yard, a boat storage yard that we want also, and a marine research center. Those are things that are very needed. In fact, we just had another boat sink in the bay here. So under the Major D right now, a boat yard would serve commercial fishing, and the boat storage would serve it. A marine research center wouldn't, but we need the research so we can get the data so we can open our fishing back up again. So that could be construed as support too. But as far as the wording is concerned, it's going to take some work, because if you want to preserve the open space and you want to keep the commercial fishing infrastructure valid, but you want to be fair to the leaseholders down there too, it's going to take some twisting words. But I'm not for any new lease sites being developed other than for commercial fishing purposes. And there's one spot down there that I guess they got grandfathered in next to Great American Fish Company that's going to be a fish market. They're going to eventually put a dock there and a walkway around the front and whatnot. So, like I say, I personally would just soon not have to worry about changing it, but it's going to get changed, I think, by the council. So if we can guide them and be vehement about the wording, then maybe we can guide it in a way that's going to work for everybody. That's basically what I got to say.
Thank you. Lynn? Anything to say at this time?
Going to protect us. That's basically what I'm saying.
And looking at the suggestions that we have from Rob Schultz, to me it certainly looks like some of these other suggestions would be an improvement, at least. So if they insist on changing it, and I don't know. A lawyer wrote it. that it seems to me we could talk about some of these suggestions and see what we think, but without more stakeholder input, we can't really do much.
Gene?
As I look through all of these suggestions and the original one, one of the things that really gets me is that it says city shall not grant any permit, authorization, or approval of any state titlelands or subject to city lease sites between Beach Street and Target Rock. And here's it, unless the development is primarily, and the word primarily I think it's really important for the purpose of serving. So if it's last time we were here on the subject, I wanted to hold a square footage of some kind for the commercial fishing so it wouldn't become just a token, you know, fish market and a large department store. So I wanted to make sure that it was mostly for the commercial fishing down here. And I like that word primary. And I think maybe suggestion number 4 is the one I like the best. And it continues the use of the word primary of serving marine-related activities. And then on the end of that, marine-related activities as defined is activities pertaining to a working waterfront, including but not limited to boat building, repair of docks, installation of mooring facilities for commercial fishing, recreational fishing, and commercial and pleasure boats. And I'd also include in there a marine research facility. That's my comment.
Okay, thank you. I
Oh, good.
I'm reluctant as an individual to want to necessarily just jump out and change the wording of things. As I look at the four suggested changes that are here, I have a feeling that two things happen. One is each of them are changes that that slope the direction of Measure D towards some particular interest or another. And secondly, I think the changes use certain terms and expressions like coastal dependent or marine related that are not always clearly understood as to what specifically those things might be. So I'm kind of reluctant to recommend any particular language until I would, beyond the language then, since I would maybe want to, as a stakeholder in the process, come up with a recommended language that represents interest of the Harbor Advisory Board as being one of others, I might want to recommend that we as a Harbor Advisory Board recommend to the City Council that they form the ad hoc committee that requests stakeholder input, and we would be a part of that City Council committee. I think they are in a better position to do that than we would be, since we represent the harbor, and the harbor is only part of the larger group of potential stakeholders that are out there. So I would like to see us just simply recommend to the City Council that they form the ad hoc committee to examine the need for and possible changes to Measure D, as opposed to us forming a committee on our own.
You can do that if you want, but I know that the reason for Measure D, one of the main reasons, not the reason, but one of the main reasons for Measure D was to protect the commercial fishing infrastructure and for future uses. Because, you know, we used to have unloading docks down at Orwell's. There's no docks, no tie-up down there anymore. We used to have three fuel docks. There's one here now. We used to have a couple other loading stations down the street. There's one small one in the south, and the T Pier now where we unload. So really, we're squeezed down here. And everybody says the fishing's out, but it's going to come back. It always does. It just takes time. So anyway, we need to protect the areas that are available now and that could be available in the future, and it also serves a purpose to keep this from looking like a gift shop Monterey Carmel place. I mean, we're still catching fish, and we're still working, and it's going to come back. So just keep that in mind.
I would agree that the commercial fishing industry's interests are primarily should be protected, and that's why Measure D came up in the beginning. But Measure D was brought about through a petition taken up within the larger community and yes. voted upon in an election by voters in the larger community. Yes. And I think the City Council better represents the larger community than any particular board that may serve that City Council. And that's the reason that I would suggest that we put the responsibility of conducting and forming the ad hoc committee back to the City Council, at least recommend it, that they take on that task.
That doesn't mean that we'll be sitting on that. Does that mean that? That may not mean that any of us will be sitting on that ad hoc committee.
I would recommend that we, as the Harbor Advisory Board, make it clear that we would want to be one of the stakeholders. Since I don't know that there's any criteria that define who a stakeholder.
Additional input from stakeholders. I don't know if anybody else is like me. I'm getting really sick of that stakeholder word because I don't know what it means. And we're having that kind of trouble tonight, too. But, you know, I think so. thought that we would put it up to the board. I mean, to me, the board is a pretty good representation of stakeholders because you've got, for example, a person who represents waterfront leaseholders. You've got a person who represents a commercial fishing organization. You've got a person from South Bay. You have a couple of members at large, the recreational boating community. So you could say, you could interpret it that perhaps you are, or you could interpret that perhaps they wanted us, might have been a sentiment of at least a couple of them to have a meeting with commercial fishermen and lessees down there, or as Michael agrees, I hear that often, and you know that perhaps that's a larger group of the community. I don't know.
Bill?
Well, you know, and I could be wrong, but I think this whole intent in changing Measure D was brought up, correct me if I'm wrong, because of the expansion of Verges and Great American Fish Company, and as Ed stated, you know, non-conforming. I mean, you know, if he's going to use the same amount of square footage as grandfathered in under Measure D, then should he be able to do that, yes or no? And some people think that he's not doing that. I don't have the answer to that, but that's really why this was all brought up. I think that really the language in here, should it be changed? Why? I mean, if it's going to be changed, are we going to change it so that we can allow more restaurants, more T-shirt shops on that end of the pier or of the Embarcadero? I mean, that's really what the answer is. I mean, I don't think so, that, in my opinion, as a stakeholder. So, you know, I don't know really by changing a sentence or a word, is it really going to change the intent of Measure D? Unless we do add other uses, and I don't think that's the intent. So I'm not really sure why we're even discussing it unless we're going to really change the whole scope of what we're going to have down there north of Beach Street. Because that's really all it was brought up. Is that correct? I mean, really, with the expansion of that whole property there? Yeah.
Well, let me try to take this back to the three tasks at hand. I think what we're asked to do is either formulate a specific recommendation that comes from the Harbor Advisory Board to the City Council on the wording of Measure D, or appoint a subcommittee of the Harbor Advisory Board with the purpose, for instance, with the purpose of gathering together stakeholders and doing that sort of work, or three, recommending that the City Council form the ad hoc committee and gather together the stakeholders, one of which I think could be the Harbor Advisory Board or any of the other people in the community. I think that's really what
Oops, better is not the right word. They'll give us further direction on what they meant by stakeholders. And so, well, yeah.
Yeah, I'm not clear on who the stakeholders are either. But it's the citizens of Morro Bay that voted it in to start with. And it's a commercial fishing industry that has a real stake in Measure D, and that's not a question, I don't believe. But over the years, even though there has existed Measure D, they have done some things. Apparently, they have approved some plans, either for potential changes in existing structures like Verges, but they've also brought in, like the Papagayo, for instance, and the Chablis, which are for hire passenger boats that are not related to commercial fishing. And so those are already there. And it seems to me that those already violate the strict terms, at least in my definition of what Measure D says.
That's a good idea. Here's what the wording here is. It says they strike out any new passenger for hire boats or supporting facilities. And then they would, if you struck it out, or this, you know, this, then, like on Mr. DeMeritt's, Council Member DeMeritt's suggestion, the rest of it stays the same. They can only get so many passenger boats in those slips. There's only so many slips down there, and their places are only so big. So there's your wording right there. That would allow the Papagayo and the rest of the boats, and the GAFCO is going to expand no matter what because they're grandfathered in on that dock prior to Major D, where they want to go put a fish market or whatever they want to put there. So basically that takes care of it.
Well, that allows then the
that allows the Papagayo
the ones that are already there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it says, well, we let some in already, but we won't let any more new ones.
If you read the wording, it says, for purpose of illustration only and not by way of limitation, no approval shall be granted for any new restaurant, because you strike out the new passenger vessels, new hire boats, so they can that means they can bring them in. And many they can fit in there.
Which one are you reading off? Which number? What number?
One, Mr. DeMere.
Number one?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's...
Not that I ever liked agreeing with her, but I guess I have to on this.
That's one of four choices that they provided, sure.
Yes.
Well, again, if we want to get into what the specific language of a change would be, then I think we ought to first agree to form the subcommittee and move in that direction. If we don't want to get involved in the debate on what the language is, except as a shareholder, then I think we ought to agree to send the responsibility back to the city council.
They gave the responsibility to us, and I think we should do it.
I agree.
And all we are is making a recommendation anyway. They don't have to listen to it.
So. Well, maybe then we should have, first of all, a motion to do the second of those two, the formation of a subcommittee.
That's fine. I'll make a motion to form a subcommittee to work on the wording and the, not that I care to be on it, but sell extreme like hell anyway, but I make the motion to form a subcommittee.
I second it. You're the chairman.
Oh, Jesus.
Okay. A motion.
And then, of course, the recommendation will be heard in the public. Justifications, I'm sure, will be given in public, and the public would have another opportunity to have a hearing on this, and hopefully we could get some more public participation. No, I don't think. Let's see. It can't be a majority of the board. An ad hoc committee has to be made up of only board members, limited duration, and on one subject.
So it
could be three members.
It could be three, but it can't be more than
three.
I'll change the motion to form an ad hoc committee of three members. So here's a second.
Okay. Well, there is a motion then by Ed Ewing, seconded by Bill Luffy, to form a ad hoc committee made up of three Harbor Advisory Board members to work on the issues of Measure D with members of the public, business owners, and other stakeholders, and report back to the Harbor Advisory Board what their recommendations are. Are there any further questions regarding the motion on the table? All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We've created an ad hoc committee with the purpose of working on Measure D by investigating the interest of other stakeholders. I think we need now to decide who the third member of this board will be. There's two on this side, two on this side. Which of you two want to do this? Let's see, Michelle's not here.
Perfectly appropriate to select a person who isn't.
At least she had some interest in this.
Yeah, she may have.
Would it be all right for the existing two members of this ad hoc committee to work towards selecting the third person from the rest who are not assigned? That would give Michelle a chance to jump into the fray.
Yeah, I think it would probably be best to indicate that you'd like Michelle to serve on the committee, and then if she's unable to participate, that just
okay.
They'd have to report that back.
I'll make a motion that Michelle serves on the subcommittee and it'll be at her discretion whether to accept it or not.
I'll second that.
Okay. There's a motion to nominate Michelle Leary to be the third member of the ad hoc committee investigating Measure D. And should she not be able to serve, we will go back to the business of finding a third person.
Why don't we just pick an alternate now so it'll be over with?
I'm not sure that would be good. Typically, an alternate might participate, might expect us, you know. So I think maybe keep it to your three folks. And so I would have a question. Oh, yeah. Have you voted on that yet?
No.
Okay. Pardon me.
Possible just to put it on as early as a November meeting, just ask the ad hoc committee to report back. They don't have to have a final of anything, but just a report.
We can put it on November.
Okay.
If your committee thinks they can.
Let me ask either Ed or Bill what your preferences are in terms of a time frame. Do you want to report back on your progress as early as November, or do you want to put it off till December?
No, I think November would be fine.
Okay. Let's add to the November agenda then a report on the Measure D ad hoc committee.
Very good.
At least a progress report. Okay?
Okay.
We done with that? I think we are. The next item is Harbor Department status report. Rick, would you...
Yeah, we probably ought to start with the Harbor Festival. The good news or the bad news, maybe start with the bad news. It's the latest weather prognostication I saw is 60% chance of rain starting Friday at midnight. And 60% chance going through most of Saturday. So it's not looking like heavy rain, but there will probably be a little rain Saturday morning. The festival goes on. It all works out great. A little bit of rain. It's not going to be particularly cool. In fact, Sunday looks. I think the temperature estimate for Sunday was 70s or low 70s or high 60s. So, it all goes forward in spite of a little rain on Saturday. There's many acts. Everybody's familiar with it. It starts at 9 o'clock Saturday morning. Ends at 5 o'clock or 5:30 on Sunday evening. Music and many displays. Of course, the Commercial Fishermen's Organization is having their booth with their albacore kebabs with the secret marinade and all kinds of other activities. So to return to our status report, let me find it here.
Rick, if I may add to it.
Please do.
The Sterrell Bay Surf Club will once again have their longboard paddle race starting at 12 noon Sunday at Coleman Beach down to channel marker 16 and back.
And I'll add the presence of the food court and the beer pavilion and the wine pavilion.
Yes. We received a grant for $35,000 to repower Harbor Patrol 68, and then we launched it today. If anybody's down the boat launch ramp with brand new engines in it, that's all great news. That work took about 6 weeks. So 68 vessel, our twin engine vessel, has been out for 6 weeks now back, and probably still got a few gremlins to work out. There's always a couple things here for the next week or so, but. DBW abandoned watercraft grant. We also received a grant from DBW for $30,000 for removal of abandoned watercraft in the bay. That was pending approval of the state budget, so we expect to receive that money here within the next 60 days. We've got a lineup down at the North T Pier of vessels we've already acquired. And maybe this is a good time now to talk about the rest of C2, utilizing it. The Coast Guard and OSPR did declare it a pollution incident. The last 3 or 4 days have been spent with a contractor out there called Ocean Blue cleaning up the vessel, and that will be a substantial cost to the vessel owner. We also have a lien pending on that vessel. It might be worth reviewing, too, that the question we've talked a little bit about before and we've talked about at council is registration or documentation of vessels. Most commercial fishing vessels are federally documented. That vessel used to be a commercial fishing vessel. It was purchased by the federal government. Excuse me. The permits off the vessel were purchased by a federal program aimed at capacity reduction in the trawl fleet and taken out of service. So the federal government, through a program that was funded in part by industry and part by the federal government, took the permits off the boat under the conditions that it could never be used for fishing again. The previous owner then sold it to a person who attempted to convert it to a recreational vessel, never had the resources to do that, has long been behind in payments. It's been a management issue for us, and then suddenly it apparently because of the foot or so of growth that was on the bottom suddenly gave way in the tide. There was a large area of the growth that exposed the hull, and when it gave way, it took away about 2 inches of what was left of the steel plating of the vessel, so it was a large leak when it did finally start sinking. So that's a good example of a federal program that really gone wrong for us, and in my opinion, they never should have just agreed to acquire those permits without agreeing to have those boats disposed of. And it's the kind of thing that frustrates the heck out of me. I've seen it with the state government. The state government, when they put a stop to spot pond trawling without hardly any notice, they just ceased the permit. The Susan Diane, another vessel that everybody remembers, used to be a spot pond trawler. He waited about 2 years until he received a he had no permits for about 2 years. He finally received a limited trap prawn permit, which the vessel never would have worked in that anyway. So it was easily foreseeable that Susan Diane, what happened to that, and that was a disaster. It's easily foreceivable what happens with the rest of C2 when they, and there's two or three, well, there's more than two or three, but there's two or three that are probably at the top of the list, unfortunately. And a lot of this, in my opinion, is done by state and federal government without consideration of the obvious thing that these vessels will be sold to the lowest common denominator by the previous party, or when their ability to make a living off the vessel and there's no market for them, they will be abandoned. So anyway, you can tell by my probably presentation that how frustrating this is. But we're trying to work through these things. We will be presenting, the council will be reviewing on October 13th a statement of position to the Pacific Fisheries Management Council on their trawl rationalization program that they're doing right now, which is IFQs and trawl industry, which is a number of these, mostly of these big boats. And one of our big issues that we're going to tell them is don't, the trawl rationalization program estimates that the 150 so trawl permits left on the West Coast will be reduced through individual fishing quotas to 40 to 60 vessels. So here's a whole nother round of vessels that are going to be abandoned in the West Coast eventually. Probably not all of them. Some will first week in November. So I hope that's okay that we will just put this on the council agenda and hope to get their position so we can forward it to the PFMC in time to be considered in their trawl rationalization decision. Signage, there was at a council meeting maybe a month ago, maybe a little longer, we had a person brought up that they didn't feel there was adequate signage at the on the waterfront regarding wildlife and management of wildlife and fishing gear. And so that was one of the reasons at your last board meeting you heard a presentation from Pacific Wildlife Care. And as another note along that, we've also received additional signage as grant, actually, from, I forget the name of the group, is it? You remember the name of the group? There's a group that helps provide signage like that, and they provided it to us for free. So we'll be putting up two more signs regarding wildlife management and fishing line hazards, and they'll be at Tidelands Dock. Actually, three more signs, two larger ones and one smaller one. They'll be at Tidelands Dock, Anchor Park, and the end of the South T Pier. I guess here's a good news item. I hope that the Fish and Game Commission is moving forward with making some changes to exempt routine maintenance in the harbor from their ML, Morro Bay State Marine Recreational Management regulations on the harbor portion of the bay. And I think we've brought you up to speed on that before. I included some information on here that should be in front of the Fish and Game Commission for adoption in November. It's an exemption from any regulations for dredging for the purposes of harbor channel operations and pursuant to required and valid permits and harbor operations and maintenance and cleaning of vessels and other hulls and other man-made structures, including removal of the living marine resources for these purposes. If you don't mind, can I read quickly a letter here we received just yesterday from Sea Scouts ship St. Joseph, which is the, you know, the St. Joseph we hope is being, and there's a lot of work to be done to clean it up, the old dragger that also lost their spot prawn permit when the state closed down that fishery, their trawl permit, and basically is unable to, the owner unable to no longer maintain the vessel. We were proceeding to file a federal case on that vessel with a very poor outlook, but the only solution we could proceed with earlier this year when a group from the Sea Scouts surfaced and has taken ownership of the vessel. They're still trying to raise money and organize themselves, but they hope to get it into the yard, and they've done quite a bit of work to clean it up if you see it at the South T Pier. So there's, it's not, we're not totally out of the woods on the St. Joseph, but it's going in the right direction with some good people working on it. They wrote us this letter we received yesterday. To whom it may concern, this past Saturday morning, September 27, 2008, while assisting our ship in arranging the delivery of a paint float, your Harbor Patrol Officer Evan Budenhagen noticed that the vessel Restless Sea 2 was sinking. We witnessed Officer Budenhagen leap into action, exceptional superhuman speed, level-headed thinking saved more than the vessel from going to the bottom. He averted a major catastrophe in the bay. When he noticed that the ship was sinking, the vessel was already taking water over the gunwales midship. He gained entry to the ship and started dewatering efforts and saved the ship.
And it, of course, reminds me of yet another reason why we can't outsource much of what the Harbor Patrol individuals do simply to other groups and people, because much of what they do depends upon an area of expertise that is unique to them and their training. Is that the end of your... At the end of your report, huh? Okay. Well, we got additional comments. Bill, Ed, Lynn, Doug. Future agenda items?
There is one item that I'm going to just to notify that we will ask to put on in November is every year the city rules and regulations require those in our commercial fishing slips to prove qualifications for the previous year. Usually about November, we send out a letter to the city commercial slip holders. They have a certain level of fish tickets or fishing effort they have to prove to us to retain the slip. This year, because of the salmon disaster, we need to have a discussion on if we're going to go ahead and recommend that the council modify the qualifications, or in past years, in years like this, I think at least one time the council has agreed to offer or at least make a blanket exemption for qualifying to commercial fishing slips. And, you know, just, I don't want, yeah, let's not even talk about the issue other than we'll just notify you that we'll put that on the agenda in November to have a discussion to see if you want to make a recommendation to council to deal with qualifications for the next year. Yes. Oh, sorry. Mr. Chairman, there's a...
Just maybe the boat haul out. Where do we stand on that? Is there any more progress whatsoever? Should that be put on the agenda?
Do you want to put that on in November?
At least an information item. If there's nothing to discuss, then so be it. But
and we're talking about the boat yard and the dry storage development on this end.
Yes,
no,
sir.
That sounds good. Let's put it on.
Yeah.
Okay.
Keep me alert on it.
Ed, anything?
No. Just
get it for me. Gene? Lynn? I would like to just know, just again, an informational item for November. We at one point recommended the city council regarding a news rack ordinance, and they agreed with that and sent it on to the city attorney, I think with the directions of writing an ordinance, and I would like to have just a report as to whether or not anything has been done in that regards up to this point.
Yeah, so we'll note that might be best as just a report at your next in your next agenda packet. Is
okay.
What I'm understanding.
Okay.
You'd like to know what's if anything has happened or
yeah,
what
if anything it has happened or is intended to happen. in the future. I'd like to ask just one other question, too, Rick. On the docks that are that line the boat launch and on Tideland Spark, are there any fishing restrictions other than fish and games, fishing regulations?
So tell me again what part we're talking about, the slips at Tideland Spark?
The docks that are alongside the boat launch and okay. the Tidelands Park public dock.
Right, so the two floats that for the at the boat launch itself, those that are used by boaters as they
right.
launch.
All those in favor? We are adjourned. Thank you for coming to our Harbor Advisory Board meeting.